If we can interact
Are you
with
filming me? What is
obviously I'm creepy like that.
You got this up like this, and obviously. He goes like this.
That's just his face. Yeah.
This is what I look like. We talked about this, Lord. No. Oh, we're rolling. That's nice.
Hey guys, thanks for joining us on the roundtable. We are talking this spring about culture and faith. And specifically today, we address the topic of parenting and engaging our children in this culture and helping them become Christ followers in this world. And so we hope you like this and that you subscribe to the Equip Roundtable podcast and share it with your friends.
So Laura, you walked in and you're like, We need to get on track with the season.
I did. I almost texted it yesterday, but I didn't want to be like a complainer on our text thread. And I thought, let's talk about this in person.
I already tune you out enough on text
it's
threads.
It's true.
Well, that's just because we talk about things that were, important to us
in the 70s.
It's always the 90s.
Not that far.
80s. Sorry,
90s. Maybe late 80s.
Yesterday, we had to clarify that Zeke Averichis were jeans. Mm-hmm.
Did you know what Zeke Averichis were?
No, there was no way he knew what that was.
Well, you've talked about like Saved by the Bell kind of being your people.
Yes.
Right.
No, totally. I mean, late 80s, early 90s culture certainly is my thing.
Then you just missed Zeke Averichis.
Yeah, right.
Okay,
right,
I
right.
got you.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it was not a Maryland thing.
That could be too. Can't go crabbing in Zeke Averichis.
I like that. That's good.
That's a t-shirt.
It's been a while since we had some t-shirt
lines. Yeah, we had t-shirt references. But yes, I'm ready to get back in a season.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and here we are. Like, I think every episode we can just make it up, which is it's tied back to culture. That's how we started. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is culture's kind of the big banner. And really, I guess, we've said this before, but that's kind of who we are, is faith and culture. Mm-hmm. And so I guess even more specific than even just the broad brush of culture.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so we're following up last week's episode, which was like kind of looking at the book of James. And we really did pull some threads of things that are relevant to kind of the last several episodes we've been talking about. We would encourage you to go ahead and check out previous episodes, previous seasons, even if you're newer to our podcast and you're just now kind of finding us, go back and it would really help if you subscribed and shared those with friends. If you listen to something that's really encouraging to you and you think it'd be encouraging to a friend or family member, go ahead and send that along. Yeah. We are speaking and talking to our Austin Ridge family, but we think that, the scriptures.
Yeah. And honestly, even if you listen and don't like it, go ahead and share it and subscribe to it. But it still makes us look good. That's really what we're talking
about. That's true.
Right? Do y'all have a favorite season?
That's a great question.
This one, obviously.
I mean, clearly, always the one we're in.
Non-season. Yeah. The non-season.
Non-season is going to be my favorite.
I don't. I think I like Coffee Cup Theology. That was a fun one.
That was a good one.
Yeah, and I was going to say Sacred Cows. Yeah.
So. Anyway.
There you go.
Just go back and listen.
Yeah, so today we thought under the umbrella of culture, we obviously a big topic of conversation, and about a month ago, actually it was earlier this month, we had a Equip event for parenting, and there was lots of questions for Q&A that we had that we just couldn't answer. We're going to talk a little bit about some of those questions, but really just family and culture, or culture and family, and how we as Christ followers raise children up, make disciples of our children in the midst of this culture. And so that's kind of where we're going to go today. I guess before we dive into the questions, as you guys think about that broad topic of how we as parents, as Christ followers, raise children in 2022, in this current culture, what comes to your mind, or what are the obstacles that you see? What are the things that you guys are kind of seeing, some high level stuff?
Gosh, what comes to mind to me is fear and trembling. It's scary.
Yeah.
It's scary to be raising kids in 2022. However, I think probably parents in 1952 said that.
Sure.
And so it's good for me always to remember, like, there kind of is nothing new under the sun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the truths that come from God's word are going to cover every age and every single problem. Not that there aren't problems that are more specific to kind of the age that we're living in now, but it's, I feel like mamas and daddies for ages and ages and ages have struggled with this.
And that was actually one of the questions was, like, genuinely, the person wrote, I am fearful every day.
Yeah.
Hmm. How do I lead my children to Jesus and have them live for Jesus? Yeah. And like, you could just read it in the tone of what she was writing into us, was there was real fear.
Yeah, my fear is on the other end now, because we're empty nesters. We've launched both our kids, and now the fear is, I wonder if what we did is going to be successful.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, I wonder
so it
if
doesn't stop is what you're saying.
I wonder if their faith really is their own. Yeah, and when I say fear, I mean that's just the reality now.
Right.
You know, we just have a different set of questions. And that's what I would encourage parents, not jumping too far ahead here, but you know, don't look at it as fear, look at it as questions. Like these are things you just don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like it can cause fear, it can cause a response, like action and that sort of thing. And obviously we'll talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're in that phase of okay, they're not under our roof anymore. We really don't know where they are. 99% of the time, and assume they're making enough money to pay their bills, aren't asking for money. Assume that, you know what I mean? It's just kind of go down the list. It's just all different now. So.
Yeah. I'm in a stage where I've got 12 down to 4, and so it just feels like every decision we make is a big one for like school and for the type of discipline that we do. And it's like every day, Stephanie and I will lay our head. I might have said this before on this podcast, but we lay our heads down at night and we look at each other and we're like, we'll try better tomorrow, you know, because every day we feel exasperated.
Yeah.
And everything feels so weighty right now. And does that, as your kids get older, does that,
it just changes.
It just
changes topics, changes categories, I think.
Sometimes I tell mamas of young kids, so when you have young kids, you're making literally 1,000 decisions a day for that child.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And as they get older, you're making fewer decisions, but the decisions have bigger ramifications.
Well, and they're making more decisions, and that's where
that's
the scary
right.
part gets in. What are they going to decide?
What are they going to decide, yeah.
So yes, it's less exhausting as they get older because there are fewer decisions, but it's more exhausting as they get older because the decisions are like, oh, this one really does change the course of their life, this particular decision.
Yeah. And you guys, because of the age range
of
your kids, 12 to 4, that what?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, you've kind of got a foot still in both worlds a little bit where it's physical tiredness and emotional tiredness.
Yes.
Because I'm sure with Selah being 12, sorry if I wasn't supposed to say your
name. That's
all right. But, you know, you have to give her some rope to hang herself every once in a while.
Yeah.
And the emotional.
Yeah.
Angst that you feel as a parent, like don't.
No, that's really,
you know,
that's really good. So, you know, I have just, I think an example with that, like, you know, with Selah.
And you have good kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other day I just caught myself and it was really good kind of moment between her and I, because it was something simple and inconsequential, but this is a sort of an example of other conversations we've had about more serious things. Mm-hmm. And that is like, it was getting late. And we had a couple nights in a row where we were out late or doing stuff late. And so it was, you know, it was only 8:45. And I just said, yeah, buddy, I think it's time. And she's like, I don't know. And I basically was encouraging her to go ahead and go to bed. And I basically told her, I was like, I'm not telling you. I'm just suggesting.
Right.
And it was amazing. Like all of a sudden I'm like, I put the ball in her court, you know. Now my 6 and 4 year old, bedtime. 8 o'clock.
Right.
They're going to lay down. They're going to stay in their bed. You know, so the change, the difference between those two things, even. Mm-hmm.
Our kids were 2 years apart. So there was a little shift, boy to girl.
Sure.
High school, middle school, whatever.
Right.
But those shifts didn't.
Yeah.
They kind of bled over pretty quick.
So right.
I have a lot of empathy. I don't have empathy because I didn't go through it. I have sympathy for you.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. And respect. Respect.
Yeah. Respect. Yeah.
Well, you know what I think overarches all of the conversation that we're going to have wherever it may go.
Yeah.
It's just and I was telling you guys when I came in, I hate to admit to being emotional. If you're a longtime listener, you know that I sort of pride myself on not having
the longer
feelings.
This podcast goes on, the more she gets in touch with her emotions. Did you notice that?
I'm sitting here with you two. I don't have a choice.
Anyway,
but I was.
Proceed. I had lots of things to say.
The only reason I was going to say that is because I don't want to get emotional when I say this, but I might.
Yeah.
But I was just thinking about, you know, God calls himself Father for lots of reasons, but not the least of which is so that we can understand how much he loves us, right? And I don't think I really understood that until I was a parent.
Right.
And so, you know, when we have so much, quote, fear that we're going to mess up our kids or that what we're doing is not enough, and it's because we love them and all of those kinds of things. But we also have to step back and say, okay, wait a minute. But I'm God's child, and he's the ultimate parent.
Yeah.
And so looking in the Word to see what my relationship with him is, like that is the way that I can parent without fear, yeah. is to look at my relationship with the Lord,
yeah.
and to emulate the qualities, the attributes of God,
yeah.
in my parenting.
Yeah. I think that's really good principle, I think, for every hat we wear in life, mm-hmm. which is whatever we're going through. Sometimes we get so focused and our focus lowers to mm-hmm. us, and like refocusing and looking up at Him,
yeah.
and just the filter is Him and His mm-hmm. word and His gospel, and like that's where the power and the encouragement and the
freedom,
soul, and soul care comes from, mm-hmm. instead of like white knuckling it and figuring out what do I need to do, how mm-hmm. do I need to fix this, how can I control this, mm-hmm. and I just love that encouragement, just mm-hmm. looking back up at the Father.
And I'm going to go glass half empty here on the other side.
Of course you are.
Shocker.
With your black shirt.
And fitting. I mean, it's faded enough where it's almost gray. Though.
It's two layers of black shirts.
It's too late. Yeah, he's that's got a D-group shirt underneath. Yeah.
But think about how I'll just put you, since you use
go
the
for
analogy.
It.
You always trust what God said to be the best. You always trust mm-hmm. God's plans, right?
Of course not.
Mm-hmm. So that's where our kids come in.
Yeah.
We forget that our kids are just like us, just like mm-hmm. we don't trust our Heavenly Father. They're not going to always trust or remember yeah. or just choose to do something different just mm-hmm. to see, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. Totally. And that's where totally. That tension comes in. That's yeah. what mm-hmm. frustrates us yeah. because, yeah.
Yeah, no. Yeah, and I think a lot of the questions that we got, people wanted to know in their questions, it was like, hey, I'm living my life as a person who lives in West Austin in 2022, and I got like life to live. I got my job. I got all these different things, and I'm also a parent. So help me figure out the 10 best, top 10 ways to just like be a good parent and like do these other things.
Can I have my cake and eat it too?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They were separating out. Mm-hmm. Jesus things. They were yeah. separate. It was like, here's my list of Jesus things, but here's also my list of this, and here's my list of this, and just give me a silver bullet to integrate Jesus things into, you know, life. And I think the biggest thing here for me is that all of life is all Jesus things. And I'm not saying, what I'm about to say is not necessarily to like shove Jesus constantly down our kids' throats, but all moments are Jesus moments, you know?
They have the potential for
that. Yeah, they have a potential mm-hmm. for that. I'll give you a good example. So Judah, here I am mentioning my kids' names all over the place. Oh, well, my six-year-old.
For instance, one of them might be named.
That's right. There is one of four, so we could just,
you know. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but my six-year-old, you know, he's in a phase now where we catch him in something, and his first instinct is to lie. Because he doesn't want to get in trouble, and he doesn't realize yet that lying actually gets him in more
and
trouble.
Because he's a son of Adam, the rest of us, our first instinct is to lie.
Yeah,
he's a son of Joey.
That's true. Let's
wait a second.
This guy's too uncomfortable.
Yeah. Joey doesn't lie for the listening audience.
That's right. Yeah,
I'm not saying Joey Ryan's a liar.
I appreciate that. Thank you for clarifying that.
Although it might be his first instinct. That's our first instinct is to cover up.
I tried to move on, and she's just pulling you
out. I'm not saying lies specifically. Specifically,
she felt something when I said that.
Sorry, I'm trying to go back to biblical theology.
Oh, goodness. Oh, here we go. So nice. You have a kid that may or may not do things.
Sometimes I wish that this was still a video feed, because it's Joey's trying to... Jeff's on his left, I'm on his right, and Joey.
Who am I not going to look at this time?
Exactly.
Obviously, his struggles.
The board is my friend. I mean, I stare at that board so often.
Trying to rein us in or keep
our commercial
us apart.
Break, because Joey was talking about.
And evidently, will say something a little off,
you can
and
just,
all of a sudden, I just sense their eyebrows. Or they make a face at each other.
Gets a little warm in your direction over here.
It's true.
So anyway, all right.
So Judah lied.
Yeah, Judah and lying. Okay, so but there was a conversation. So he got caught in a lie, and we confronted him, and we told him, and it was an opportunity. So he says he's really down on himself, and we can tell he feels guilt and shame. So when I get home later in the day after the event happened midday, I come home, I sit with him, I said, let's talk. And I said, do you understand what mom was trying to convey to you about why lying is not good? And I said, buddy, I just want to let you know, we're not mad, we're just disappointed, but listen, I love you. And there's nothing, and as soon as I said, I love you, he looks at me And I didn't even know that he was like old enough to like comprehend this concept. And he goes, you even love me when I do bad things. Mm-hmm. And what an opportunity at that point. Mm-hmm. I mean, talk about like implementing the gospel in that mm-hmm. moment. And I just grabbed him and I looked him in the eyes and I like squeezed his little face and I just said, I love you so much. And God loves you so mm-hmm. much, no matter what, that there's nothing you can do mm-hmm. that makes me love you less or more. Yeah. And the same thing with God. Mm-hmm. And he just like, you could just see his body just like relax. Mm-hmm. And it was like this moment that I was like, man. And I was like, yes, we talked about consequence. Yes, there was a consequence of his actions. But man, to give him grace and show him grace mm-hmm. in that moment was just a really cool opportunity.
Yeah, and that just shows the intentionality on your part, right? I mean, you had to take advantage of the opportunity. But there's a book that I'm guessing it was promoted at the event, right? The Family Discipleship.
Oh, for
those boxes, right?
Yeah.
So it's a great book. If you haven't read it,
which by the way, those boxes are available.
Okay.
And I don't know where they are, somewhere on our children's austinridge.org/ I think it's children or kids.
I think so. Yeah.
If you go there, I'm sure you can find the Family Discipleship Toolbox.
Okay. Well, this is a book. I believe it's in the first box. It's called Family Discipleship by Matt Chandler and Adam Griffin. And what you were just saying there, I actually had this bookmark to read, and it ties into what you were saying. Yeah. So on page 41, it says, designing a family discipleship culture, which is what we're talking about.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
How do we disciple our kids? Yeah. Designing a family discipleship culture takes having a head of household that purposely sets the tone of the spiritual environment. It is a home that makes family discipleship important and normal. Mm-hmm. It prioritizes biblical values and incorporates them above and alongside the other values and idiosyncrasies of the family's culture. Mm-hmm. So it isn't a one-size-fits-all.
Yeah.
It isn't a cookie-cutter, you know, paint-by-numbers thing. It's like, who are you?
Yeah.
Who is your family? Who has God entrusted to you as husband, as wife, as single mom, single dad, whatever it happens to be, as
good.
Kids, sons, daughters from ages 4 to age 12, what makes you weird? Mm-hmm. What makes you unique?
That's good.
How has God wired you? And then how does God's truth just naturally enter into that? Mm-hmm. And that's where the intentionality mm-hmm. comes in.
Well, you can. I'm sorry, Joey.
No, I just think like the cookie cutter idea, like literally think about a cookie cutter. And I think sometimes Christian parents or church going mm-hmm. parents, they want the template of all the cookie cutters. Mm-hmm. Just give me the kit.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, man, it's so much more than.
And honestly, I mean, we're in the same generation as we mm-hmm. joke about on text threads all the time, but we had kids younger. So we were at the kind of in the sweet spot or whatever you want to call it of that 90s, early 2000s parenting. Here's how to do it. Boom. You know?
There was here's a kit.
And I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but focus on the family stuff mm-hmm. and things like that was a, if you want to do it, here's how you do it.
That's right. If you're going to raise a Christian kid, this is how you do
it. Yeah. And we had somebody give us, so our daughter, Audrey, which if you know Audrey, you know, hi Audrey, because she listens to this, you know that she is just most amazing adult.
She's
kind of
a rock
thing,
star.
But she was a hard kid. Like we've told her, the reason we don't have a third kid is because we had you second, because you were just a hard baby kind of thing. Yeah. And somebody gave us the book, Parenting the Strong-Willed Child.
Uh-huh.
Read it, and they're like, hey, what'd you think? You know, fix your situation. Or like, unless you want us to hit her with this book, I don't know what to do with it. You know what I mean? Because it's like, this is not like an apples-to-apples comparison. It may have a category attached to it, but this isn't a fix-it kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, and I think what I was going to say is that this is not new. Like, as I was reading and thinking about this, what kept coming back to my mind was the Shema. I mean, we're talking Deuteronomy. Back early, you know, God-fearing parenting looked like this. Can I read it just real quick?
Yeah, go for it.
Where is it?
So it's Deuteronomy 6:4-8. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and the sign shall be as the frontals on your forehead, and you shall write them on the doorpost of your home and on your gates. Mm. I mean, what does that sound like? That sounds like what you're talking about. Mm. There's not a checklist.
Yeah.
As you go, as you sit, as you're in your house, as you're traveling, you're to talk about these things.
That's right. Yeah, and one of the questions we got was, in the midst of busy schedules and routines, how can there be intentional discussions about God? And it was like, all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. All, yeah. In the midst of busyness.
And I understand that question of over spiritualizing. Yeah. I think that that's a danger as well.
Right. Mm-hmm. Sure.
But there are always opportunities and it's, you know, we have to teach them the story.
Yeah. Well, and there's a fine line to walk there because need to make it normal. Yes. Mm-hmm. Need to make it biblically informed. Yes.
Yeah.
But I don't know enough. Like, that's the first argument. I don't know enough, so I don't know how to do it, so I'm going to ask you to do it for me. Well, wait, so I don't have to do anything. I can just be over here and teach them good morals. You know what I mean? It's not an either or. It's
or they know just a little bit to be dangerous, and so then we go back to, like, the whole deconstruction conversation, which is you teach your kids the wrong things about, you know, in Jesus, you know, you do things, I'm trying to think of an example of what I'm going to say, but you do things in Jesus' name that actually shouldn't be in Jesus' name.
You try to impose on them weights that even their forefathers couldn't bear.
That's right. It's unbiblical. So then it's dangerous. And then all, you know, so it is heavy. Right?
It is heavy. But what I hear you saying is, hey, parents, here's your checklist. Get in the word for yourself.
Well, there are things to do. They're not silver bullet. It's kind of those things. You don't have to do them, but if you want to succeed, there are some things that you should probably do. If you want to be healthy, you should maintain a certain diet that's going to give you the best opportunity to be healthy.
Totally. Right. And that's where, like, in the scriptures, there isn't this whole book devoted to parenting in the Bible, right? Mm. And actually, you know, if you go to the old Google and type in, you know, parenting verses, there's only a few. Mm-hmm. Because the scriptures were written to image bearers. We're all image bearers. You're an image bearer and your children are image bearers and they're your brothers and sisters in Christ. And so you as a Christ follower, as an image bearer, child of God, are to live your life. So everything's through this Jesus lens. So the Bible says the hat that you wear is the hat of a child of God, a Jesus follower. And you're not just raising children, but, you know, fellow children of God. So you're disciple making. So it isn't one conversation about how life interacts with Jesus. It's 1,000 little conversations. Mm-hmm. And so as you set the tone with, are you modeling, you know, your own life with Christ? And you're not just talking at them or telling them, hey, are you in your word? You parent, are you in your word? Hey, are you praying, kid? Well, are you praying, parent? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, it's an opportunity to model what it means to live, a Christ-centered life.
Yeah. And I do think in our particular culture here in West Austin, but probably America as well, I think one of the biggest mistakes that I make as a parent, and so I'm going to assume that others do, is sort of unintentionally constructing just a lifestyle where my kid learns that her performance is her identity.
Yeah.
And so,
like, an example would be,
well, for an example, two different examples. One would be kind of what you were talking about with Judah. So if she makes a mistake, first we could talk about morally, right? Mm-hmm. Behavior.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if she makes a behavioral mistake, she feels terrible about herself because she sees herself as a mistake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so that kind of gets into that whole legalism thing, which is how we can see people deconstructing later.
That's right.
Right? Mm-hmm. But the other side of that is that she is her success.
Yeah, right.
She is her achievement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I have a really high achieving kid. And so I don't want her to be like, well, when I achieve, then I'm worthy and I have an identity. So I guess what I'm saying is I think one of the things that we can specifically do if we're wanting to give specific advice is to look for examples during your day of where you can say to your kid, like, I'm so proud of you.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, and not but, don't say but. Right. I'm so proud of you and your identity's not in that achievement. And I don't love you more or less when you achieve, just like I don't love you more or less when you fail.
Because that's the plight of man. Because then, so what you're saying, if it's about success, they're always chasing that. And so really as a family unit to have conversations about what are the values and what is the focus of life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things asked was like, how should I pray for my kids? And that, I think as a family set up to say, well, listen, for our family, I pray every night for their endurance and perseverance because I know it's going to be harder and harder as the culture goes to live as a Christ follower. They're going to be the weirdos that follow Jesus. And then we pray that God will use them in awesome ways with whatever future they have, whether, mm-hmm. you know, Josiah is going to be an engineer or Judah's going to play in the NFL, you know, like whatever it is, mm-hmm. is that God will use all of that mm-hmm. in a way that is honoring to him. And I think that just sort of sets him up instead of saying, because one of the things you said even before we started recording is the pressure. Mm-hmm. You know, if we wanted to get even more practical, like some of the pressures we see in this mm-hmm. culture, would you say like success or
yeah, just high performance.
High performance. And particularly mm-hmm. in this area, in this culture, mm-hmm. we see huge levels of depression mm-hmm. in children because the expectations from parents is you will get straight A's, you will get a scholarship to a college, and mm-hmm. you will, you know.
You will excel in sports mm-hmm. and in music and in, you know, whatever
yeah.
it is.
Yeah, and I think just to maybe tie all that together, even with something Brad said last week or the week before in the James series, we tend to ask, he was talking about in the context of suffering, but in this context of parenting, we talk about what, not why. Too much. Mm-hmm. Like we focus on what they're doing, what they did. If success is a goal, that's a, you know, but why is success the goal? Like asking those probing questions, you know, if let's say your boys don't want to be a doctor or a lawyer, they want to be a mechanic or a plumber mm-hmm. or something. Why?
Yeah. Right.
Why? Like what's driving that decision? That may be the right decision, but if we focus on what, then we're basing it on our expectations as parents being yeah. met or not met. Yeah. And then we're grading our kids based on our expectations being met and not met mm-hmm. versus asking them why they did something, why they want to do something, what they're all that kind of, does that make sense?
Yeah. yeah. And then are they transferring that to, well, God says he's my father. Mm-hmm. He must also think I need to perform.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
You know, I mean, you can see how that gets jacked up,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. And I want to go back to like, I think it was something you were saying earlier too, just like we set the culture in our homes by what we do and what we allow. So like, it's amazing how by osmosis, like for example, you were saying by performance, mm-hmm. But like, you know, when we talk back in sarcasm to our kids, we shouldn't be surprised when they do that back to us. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Okay.
But if they're going to use sarcasm, I want to train them to use it well.
Have you ever noticed that? Like when you say something, you think it's funny, and when it comes back at you out of your kid's mouth, that sounds awful.
Here's the thing, though. When your kids are adults and they do it well,
then it's hilarious. Pretty
satisfying.
You're like, well done.
I don't know if that's bragging or confession.
If you are skipping church, And it's like, oh, it's no big deal because of grace. And we're just going to go on the lake. And you do that a lot. And they grow up where church isn't an important thing. You're like, where'd I go wrong? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what's true? You don't have to go.
That's true.
That is true.
Yeah, right.
That is true.
Sure.
So why would we go?
Why? The why.
That's what you're modeling why. Is why.
That's right.
You go.
Yeah.
Why
is
it important to you, mom, dad?
Yep.
That's right.
That's
same
right.
thing with the reading your Bible. Like you are setting a culture by the way, how you think, what you value with your money.
Yeah.
We're all setting cultures in our home. And if we want a Jesus-centered culture, I think what you said was really, really good. It's the why behind it all. Yeah, he just did the fist bump. No, not a fist bump. What is that?
I don't know what that was.
What'd you just do?
Kind of the tiger.
Or at the end of
Rocky?
Nope. Breakfast Club, where he goes.
Judd Nelson.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh, look at me pulling.
Look
my
at 80s. You with the 90s and 80s.
No,
and
80s,
oh, that was
80s. Come
wow.
on, man.
All right.
Should not have been watching that at that age.
Well, went over my head then.
Okay.
I went back and watched
right,
it a couple years ago.
I was thinking, I was doing the math on
Joey,
that. I was
why?
Like, Joey
movie,
should not have been watching that.
By the way,
that
movie could not be made now.
No. Hey, Joey, why did you watch that movie?
Anyway.
No. I'm just trying. Hey, man, I'm trying to put a big thing. Yeah.
Let's see here. Fist pump. Thanks, Nathan. Fist pump. He just texted me that. Yeah, I appreciate that. All right. So let's get to some of these questions. I'm sure you know, we've done a really good job. Well, we've done such a good job.
If I do say so myself.
We think we're doing awesome right now.
What I meant to say was,
in case
we gave some high level, big picture kind of things. I think, you know, in the last couple minutes here, if we can get some practical questions. Mm-hmm. So, you know, how do we help our kids? One of the questions was be, you know, in the world, not of the world. You know, they have friends with different morals and they have coaches who use foul language and, you know, we don't want to shelter our kids, but we also want to. So what's the in the world, of the world and how we kind of let our kids be a part of that and engage that? I mean, that is a culture and faith question if there ever was one, I think.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, for me, I didn't. So we've had, I feel like we should go back and listen to In the World, But Not of the World. That was a coffee cup. That was a good one, by the way. I think I just address that stuff as it comes up. Mm-hmm. Like, if you have a culture in your home that you've encouraged talking about all sorts of things, then you just talk through it. Like, that doesn't mean that person is a bad person because they used foul language, but that's mm-hmm. probably not the choice we would make. To me, that's a tough question. It's a good one, mm-hmm. but it's tough to answer because if you are doing the things that we're talking about and you're setting that culture in your home,
yeah.
it becomes a pretty quick conversation.
Yeah, I think some of that too is the age appropriateness of whatever they're being exposed mm-hmm. to. Mm-hmm. If my 4-year-old's playing T-ball, 5-year-old's mm-hmm. playing T-ball, and the coach is swearing mm-hmm. like he would around other adults, mm-hmm. it's my job as a parent to go to that coach and yeah. talk to them about that.
That's
hey,
true.
We really would prefer it if you didn't say that when, mm-hmm. when we're here kind of thing. Now, if my kid is 12 or 13,
right.
I'm maybe going to equip them more to understand why we don't talk like that, mm-hmm. Or at least talk about it in front of other people, wink, wink, you know, that kind of thing. But you know what I mean? I'm going to try to teach them how to be in that moment and try to navigate it because that's mm-hmm. going to be the rest of their life. You're going to have to figure out how to deal with that. But I think it's an age-appropriate thing, so you're going to deal with that with your 12-year-old mm-hmm. different than you would with
yeah.
your 4-year-old.
Yeah. And I think, too, it's important to help our children understand that, like, we can control, like, us. We have our own individual relationships with Jesus, and we can't impose that on mm-hmm. other people.
Yeah, that's We're, great.
Not only non-believers mm-hmm. who are going to act like non-believers, yeah. But then also even in the midst of the church and other mm-hmm. fellow believers, I mean, talk about going back to the conversation about deconstruction and not letting mm-hmm. other people who are, you know, not doing well in their walk. And mm-hmm. that is a reason why I'm going to walk away from the faith. Like mm-hmm. other people are on their own journey mm-hmm. with the Lord. And so, even with certain, like, you know, movies, like now my older two are getting older and we're watching like TV-14 stuff mm-hmm. and there's things that come up on those shows.
Yeah.
And so, there's times where we've paused the TV and we had a dialogue. Hmm. We didn't go, oh, close, you know, well, sometimes we do say close your eyes for appropriate those things, type of thing. But there's certain things that they see and then, or they hear, mm-hmm. and we don't just tune it out and ignore it.
Like, yeah. I hope they didn't hear that.
Yep.
Nope, they heard it.
We pause it and we say, hey.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, whatever the context is there.
And it kind of goes back, you talk about past episodes, the right, wrong, or wise mm-hmm. Stuff mm-hmm. that we did. I mean, as a parent, you're in charge of making the decision. You have the freedom to make that decision. What is right, wrong, and wise, you mm-hmm. know, in this setting?
And the thing is that we do not create a situation, again, going back to the creating the culture in your household, where you label something as, oh, that person, that happened in the world, mm-hmm. and that person's now the enemy, mm-hmm. and you stay really far away and clear of that. Yeah. It is an opportunity to say, well, God loves them, and we're going to love them. Mm-hmm. And obviously, there's going to be certain boundaries depending on the behavior,
right.
but it's not the worst thing we can do as Christ followers is to say the world is now our enemies.
Yep.
Satan is our adversary, mm-hmm. and he is the you know, we're at war with him, or he's at war with us. But people, whether the believers or not, are image bearers that deserve to be loved and pursued.
That's right? So important. That makes me think back to, what Gary Runn was talking about, mm-hmm. about we all are imprinted with the image of God. And we have to treat people that way. I mean, in fact, scripture says that if we have not love, we do not know God, you know? And so I think that is super important. Yeah. As we are dealing with people who are in the world, we have to remember that God made them, God loves them.
Yeah.
I mean, we should treat them that way.
And I think there's two extremes that parents can run to with this is either to be hyper vigilant on mm-hmm. this and try to protect their kids from everything, you know, misspent word, every, you know, gender issue, whatever it happens to be, or completely uninvolved and not know where
that's
their kids are,
that's
what's
right.
going on in the friend's house. So they, you know what I mean? So there's a balance there. It's like you don't want to, it sounds like a wrong way to say it, but hopefully you know what I mean. You don't want to protect your kids from everything. Mm-hmm. Like they need to see some stuff while they are still coming home to
you.
You can have that conversation with them.
Yeah.
But you just have to be wise with what those things
and
are.
And that goes back to like we're not giving a playbook away necessarily that is like super specific on every single topic.
You live on a different cul-de-sac than any of us live on, so you're going to have to figure that out.
That's right.
And so there's this tension. There's this following the spirit. There's this, you know, you being fed in the word, you know, feeding your own soul, not just relying on Sunday morning sermons for 40 minutes, you know, there's this whole, because you need to know. And it goes back, and I know people are like, oh my goodness, you guys repeat the same thing as, but you know, it bears repeating.
Right.
That sometimes there is this tension and we have to just wade in that and be okay with that. And also community, you know, we're just going to ring all the bells that we
if
normally
you don't,
ring.
Yeah. If you don't ask for help when you don't know, you're not going to come up with the answer.
Yeah.
A lot of times on your own.
How do you guide and encourage kids in their own relationship with Jesus, but not push them in a way where they look back and realize, man, it was never their own?
That's a hard one. But Jeff, you answered the last one a lot better than me, so you go first.
Well, I think one of the things like this book talks about, and you talked about a little bit earlier, Joey, is taking advantage of opportunities they present themselves versus trying to catechize your kids. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, talk about the things that maybe you heard at church on the way home, or talk about, ask questions and not just make statements kind of thing. You know what I mean? And that's one of the things this book does a really good job of. Again, it's Family Discipleship by Chandler and Griffin, is taking advantage of the time in the car, taking advantage of time at the breakfast table, taking advantage of, well, we don't have that time. Then that's step one, create the time when you can have informal conversations so that this thing that you say is important to you just becomes normal.
Yeah.
So I think that's one way. I mean, that's kind of what we did with our kids. Like, we're not, I mean, you guys know us. We get things done, but we get things done as the things get done. Like, we don't necessarily map it all out kind of thing. Yeah. And that's kind of how we did that with our kids. And, you know, they're both in their 20s now, and, you know, they each have their issues, but they're walking with the Lord. They love Jesus, you know, and their faith is something that they've made their own over time.
Well, and I think something that I've tried to do, and this is something I stole from Jen Wilkin. But
steal from the best.
Steal from the best. You're going to steal. Steal from the best, but give credit. Yeah,
that's good.
She said that when she would pick her kids up, now she has four kids like in 6 years, like they are crammed in, but she would pick them up from school and say, okay, so one day she would ask, what's something that happened today at school that you think would shock me? And so in that way, she invited her kids to talk about some of the things that they didn't know how to deal with that had happened during the day. And not necessarily in a Christian, you know, she wasn't asking them a churchy kind of question, but they would say, oh, so-and-so said this to whoever, or so-and-so did this. And and then she would be able to decide how she wanted to respond to that. Like, oh, that is kind of shocking, but let's talk about why that's not unexpected. Yeah. And how, I just love that. I love being able to ask questions that get your kids talking so that they're not afraid to say to you some of kind of the crazy stuff that's going on in their world, because then by the time they're 17, they know it's safe to talk to mom. It's safe to talk to dad.
Yeah. And they also are going to find out if mom and or dad are honest about it, that doesn't mean you necessarily have a great response for
that's
that.
Right.
It
that's
may
right.
just be, wow, that is weird.
Yeah,
I'm sorry that happened.
Who
what
knew?
Were you thinking that goes, in that moment?
That goes back to the point of not trying to control and the whole asking questions. Well, what did you think about that?
Yeah.
How did you process that?
Right.
And sometimes your kids will say, I don't know. And maybe they really don't know, or they're uncomfortable talking about it. But man, if we could just lead and not, and again, going back to the extreme of like not engaging it.
Right.
And we want to engage it. And even if internally you as a parent feel like, oh my goodness, this is so awkward.
That happens a lot. Do,
yeah.
A lot of times it's not a problem to fix. It's just a conversation to engage.
That's right.
Yeah. And I think, man, I think that's probably a good place where we start landing the plane. But like, the bow is so important, is that God is writing your child's story and it's their lives, and God loves your child as much, if not more, than you love your child. And there's this letting go that I was told that early on. And my, you know, when Selah was even younger, is like, start letting go now. And it's hard because I want to control. I want to control. But I start letting go and allowing her to make her decisions. And again, guided right now. Because eventually, I remember my dad, we didn't grow up in a believing household, but I remember my dad when I was 18, he goes, okay, that's it. That's all I got. You're 18. It's all on you. Seriously, that was the conversation. And now he
kind of like that.
And I remember when I was 19 and I was 20 and I made some really stupid decisions. And I remember going and running to him and he helped me. Mm. He was always there, right? But it was like, okay, I've done what I can. And so, but I'm sure that was gradual and it wasn't just one day he woke up and decided that. Yeah. And I would really encourage that.
Kind of like teaching your kid to drive. I mean, there's some parents that, you know what, they live in a certain place or whatever. They can let their kid get behind the wheel at 10, 11 years old, start learning to drive, that sort of thing. Yeah. Others, they may wait 16, 17, depending on whatever. At some point, though, the parent probably taught their kid how to drive in most cases.
Yeah.
And but you go from, hopefully, when they're 25 or 30 and you're riding in the car with them, you're still not telling them, you know, slow down, tap your brake. You know what I mean? You're not giving them you're equipping them so that they don't need you to do it, but you can still be on the ride with them.
You know what I mean? I like that sort of thing. I like that. Yeah. I have all the parenting advice. You know, it's funny because Stephanie is like, you know, oh, talking about parenting.
I know.
That's touchy.
Scary.
It's touchy. And really, we hope that you didn't just hear a bunch of advice, but you heard us encourage you in your walk with the Lord, and really depending on the Lord and modeling that for your kids and having conversations and having not just one, but many. Along the way,
anything God gives you as a Christ follower is not just for you to steward, but to form you more into the image of Christ. Yeah. So you're not just there helping shape your kids. Your kids are also shaping you.
Mm-hmm.
And so remembering it goes both ways. Like, what is it revealing about you that you need to grow in as well? So if you're not growing as a disciple, you're not going to be helping your kids grow.
Yeah, that's really good. I even wrote down James 4, kind of just in the theme of James and coming out of James. But all, you know, this stuff all comes out of us, and it's all for us to learn and to grow. If you're listening to this for the last, 35, 40 minutes, and you're like, oh my goodness, I don't even know where to begin, that's okay. I would encourage you to email us, equip@austinridge.org. Not that we have all the answers, but we'll get you plugged into an environment here some way, somehow. It could be a D group. It could be a men's or women's Bible study. Mm-hmm. It could be one of our parenting classes, or it just could be a friendship that we get you connected with fellow parents who are walking the same road you are and just wrestling through the tension that is the culture that we live in, trying to raise fellow Christ followers.
Yeah, and one other thing I'd recommend is, in addition to this book, they actually have a podcast now. So it's called the Family Discipleship Podcast. So if you're looking for something in addition to your weekly intake of the Equip Roundtable that you have by now liked and shared with at least four people, you should definitely listen to that. Because it really, I mean, it's these folks that wrote the book, and they're talking about, you know, the practical everyday stuff that they deal with, and they have resources and that kind of stuff. Yeah. So I'll encourage you that.
Well done, y'all. Thanks. I mean, maybe.
I was just going to say we made it. It's a miracle. When we sat down an hour ago, I was like, this is not happening.